The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life. Live from the Hyatt Regency Atlanta, here's Charles Hanegriff.
The Southeastern Conference Championship belongs to the LSU Tigers with a 37-10 destruction, and I do mean destruction, of the Georgia Bulldogs at Mercedes-Benz Stadium this afternoon. Good evening, everybody, and welcome into the Scoreboard Show. I'm Charles Hanegriff, along with former LSU Tiger Richard Dixon. And there's really only one question on my mind. It should be on the mind of everybody right now. How's your eyeballs?
If I have to have this discussion, I don't really, you know, I'm thinking positive right now. I'm thinking the committee is not, is what Moscona would call them, a bunch of doofuses.
Yeah.
Because if you watch that game, a 2-for-4 matchup, you see the domination that happened. And honestly, it could have been worse. I mean, of course, Georgia had some drop balls, but Terrence Marshall had a big 71-yard touchdown drop. We missed a 48-yard field goal. That game could have been out of hand even earlier in the first half. There's no way in my mind that you can tell me that, first of all, our defense played great again tonight. Our defense, I've been telling people for a while, they play great halves, great quarters. 2 weeks in a row, they played a full game. This week, you go out there and dominate the number 2 defense in the country. I don't want to hear an excuse about why Ohio State still needs to be number 1.
And Ohio State about to kick off with Wisconsin, and we'll get to that in due time. But tonight, the LSU Tigers came out and seized this game from the very beginning with a drive on the first possession that they had the football. Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase, a combination we've seen many times this year for the touchdown that gave LSU a lead that they would never relinquish. And then getting the ball back after a short drive from Georgia. 2 series later, Joe Burrow again, this time to Terrace Marshall for a touchdown, and the route was on. LSU 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. Burrow opening up a near-perfect 9-for-10 for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. Later on in the beginning of the second quarter, Georgia would get a field goal, but they would also miss a field goal. LSU's drop touchdown pass that Richard was referring to came early in the second quarter, would have put LSU up 21-0 and opened up the gap a little bit more. The Tigers would get a 41-yard field goal from Cade York and then a Derek Stingley pick that turned back a Georgia drive. And this was inside of 4 minutes to go in the first half. And it was inside of 2 minutes to go in the first half, a minute 37. And Richard, when we talk about the big plays in this game, Joe Burrow owns a lot of them, okay? Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But Derek Stingley,
he had the momentum changers. Yeah. I mean, you're driving right there before the half. You're sitting there. If they score right there, get points on the board, it's a lot closer. They have more, you know, momentum going to the half, but you end it right there. Showing up right there at the end, you get the touchdown. You put it out of reach 27 to, I think it was 3 at the time. And then you get the interception right there again and go in and score. I mean, Derek Stingley made the momentum change from preventing them from ever making it a game and making them get back into the game.
Tigers would put together a drive that would get them down in the field goal range, including an unbelievable scramble by Joe Burrow, who was very good on the ground tonight in addition to everything else. They got down and tried a 48-yard field goal. That was no good. But the beginning of the second half, the Tigers put together a 16-play, 77-yard drive that took 6:40 off of the clock. And even though it ended in a field goal, it really did put the pressure on Georgia to have to come out and make a statement. They could not. A missed field goal from 37 yards on their next drive, and then Joe Burrow made the play of the college football season, maybe. We've got a lot to choose from. But this double time, I'm going to call it a double turn, scramble right, heave down the field that went for 71 yards to Justin Jefferson, who, God bless him, was so exhausted that he had gone 70 yards down the field and then crossed nearly the entire width
twice
of the field. Yeah, and they would go in from there on a touchdown to Terrace Marshall to put them up 27-3. Derek Stingley would get another interception. Justin Jefferson again on the touchdown, 34-3. And, well, that was all
game
before the end of the third quarter. So if you watched, and the committee says, we watched the games, well, you watched for 3 quarters the number 2 team in the country and the number 4 team in the country in what was, I was ready to call this a pseudo home game for the Georgia Bulldogs. That's inaccurate. This was a home game for the Georgia Bulldogs.
What did you say, 80-20?
80-20 is the number we're going with, and even that might be generous. This was a absolute ocean of red. LSU's fans were outnumbered easily 4-1, if not more than that. Now, they weren't around for the fourth quarter, you understand. But in the beginning parts of the game, this was not a pseudo-home game for Georgia. This was a home game for Georgia. We knew that they would have the fan advantage. I didn't think that it would be quite that much.
We were thinking 65-35, 70-30, at
70-30 was kind of the number I had in my head. Yeah. They completely owned that stadium, but LSU owned the field.
You know what? And I will say, like, in the beginning of the game, I was sitting with a buddy of mine who happens to be a Georgia fan, and I was giving a little bit of hell because – even though they had 80-20, our 20 still seemed to be just as loud as their 80.
They had more to yell about at different points of the game. The LSU defense intercepted Jake Fromm twice. We're still waiting on some final numbers. I think it was 3 sacks, but we'll get that.
3 sacks, total yards.
3 sacks.
286. I mean, second week in a row you have a dominant performance from an LSU defense. I've been saying for a long time, people are talking about how, well, yeah, the Ole Miss game is what everybody talks about. Is they gave up 600 yards of offense. But if you go back and watch that game, they played a dominant first half.
31-7.
And then they shut it down the second half. And you have moments like that. Is it a positive? No. Is it understandable? I can say it's understandable being in situations like that. But when this defense has to make a stop, when they have to make a big play, it seems like they always are there to do it.
On the broadcast, the television broadcast of this, they said that this was another Heisman moment for Joe Burrow. I thought that after the Alabama game that he had a grip on the trophy. If there was any doubt in anybody else's mind, there wasn't in mine, but if there was any doubt in anybody else's mind before tonight, that should be erased. 28-38 tonight, 349 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, and he also rushed the ball 11 times for 41 yards, that included a long of 17. There were times where he was running away from Georgia defenders. They went out and played the Auburn defense at the beginning.
Yeah.
3-1-7. Burrow had a lot of time to throw. In fact, I think they ran the clicker. It was 8 seconds on the first touchdown pass to Jamar Chase. But Georgia made a command decision. We are going to play back. We're going to do what Auburn did. We're going to try and make them catch the ball in front of us. We're going to tackle well. And we're going to be able to shut down the running game with our front people, which
they did.
They did.
They
did a very nice job. It's a very good defense.
Still, the entire year, did not give up one rushing touchdown to a running back. Rushing touchdown to a running back the entire season.
And they play in a pretty good league.
Yeah, there's pretty solid running backs in the league.
So you take all of those things, and Burrow was so good tonight he completed a 16-yard pass to himself.
Yeah.
All in all, it was a dominant night for LSU. It was a wonderful win to be able to watch at the end. You know, we've had some kind of heart-tugging moments here this year between the 3rd and 17 and the win over Alabama and Burrow spelling his name in the jersey and senior night and all that stuff. You had to get a little bit, had to get a little bit choked up, at least if you care about this program, to watch Ed Ogeron hand the game ball to Joe Burrow and have Joe Burrow hand it back.
Yes, I mean, does Joe Burrow do everything right?
Yeah,
he does everything that makes you, tug on the heartstrings, make the fans just feel for you even that much more. I mean, what he does, what he says, he's perfect in interviews. But that one really touched me tonight when we're watching there and right before we start the show. He gets the game ball. He's like, nah, coach, you deserve the game ball. That's as good as it gets.
He's the kind of guy that goes 44 in a 45-mile-an-hour speed zone.
He's the kind of guy that doesn't need to go. They need to just do the ceremony in Baton Rouge. Don't invite anybody else. Let's hang out and let's just do the Heisman at home.
Save it. Make it a lot easier. So that's it. We got a lot to cover tonight, a lot to celebrate. We're starting to see some of the fans trickle back in here to the Hyatt. Of course, most of them are Georgia fans because the ones that stayed are the LSU fans for the trophy presentation and the celebration on the field. But they'll be here soon enough. You'll hear the background noise here soon enough at the Hyatt as we celebrate LSU's 37-10 win. We're hoping to have the press conference here sometime soon. Again, the celebration's taking a little bit, so our time is thrown off. We're going to take some calls probably a little bit earlier than we usually do. We got Jordy Collada down in the locker room for post-game reaction. If we can get Hester before they get on a plane and head back, we're looking for him too. But it's the Tigers night. 37-10. LSU wins it. 13-0. They are Southeastern Conference champions. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
From the Hyatt in downtown Atlanta, here comes Matt Mark. He knows about winning these games.
We got the crew here.
Yeah, they're
What's
coming back
on,
in now. The the celebration's starting now. We're starting to see the first wave of LSU fans come back into the stadium as the team is done on the field. The trophy presentation is over, so we're hoping that we'll have some press conference sound here for you. Coming up soon, we get Jordy down in the locker room, and we'll see when they get to the podium. You've been a part of these celebrations. What's it like right after you win one of these things?
You're just like you have that exhausted moment. You're ready there. And it's like the biggest relief. It's what you wanted to get there. And especially back in 07, we took that game as our national championship. We thought we had lost our opportunity losing to Arkansas in triple overtime the week before. We put pressure on us. And, if you go back to that game, it was a very special moment. We had our backup quarterback. We had guys injured. And we go out there and just, make it happen. The celebration in the locker room was one thing. The celebration on the plane on the way back when we knew we were going to the national championship was another. But it's an amazing moment. It's one of those times where it doesn't matter how bad you hurt, how sore you are. For those brief 15, 20 minutes in the locker room, you feel amazing.
This has got to feel amazing for LSU.
I feel amazing.
Everybody feels amazing. And we got to look. It's Kirby Smart. Let's see if we can get a little Kirby Smart. Losing team goes first.
It's a combination of a lot of things, and it is scheme-oriented, but it's a lot more than scheme. I mean, they have plays that they run all year that we've run all year. Our plays haven't looked like their plays because a lot of times we may not have the same guys doing those plays. And they got a great group of wideouts combined with an extremely athletic quarterback.
All right, that's the beginning. I didn't mean that the way it came out. It's just the losing team goes first, the winning team
but
goes
But you know what I caught
second.
Right there? He said, we run the same plays. We just don't have the guys they have. Coming from a team that's been in the SEC championship 3 years in a row, I think that's I don't like that statement. You got a lot of talent. You've been in the top five recruiting class. And to say that we run those same plays, we just don't have the guys that they have.
Well, they were in his –
they did have a lot of injuries.
DeAndre Swift ran two carries tonight and three receptions. So he was clearly limited. But the guy they missed was Pickens.
No doubt.
I mean,
he made big plays.
You saw him
half.
In the second. And look, LSU had relaxed at that point. I get it. But the kid is a very, very talented receiver.
He's got the
hands. Rangy. He's fast. He's big.
He doesn't drop the balls you saw dropped earlier in the game. He's a guy that comes up with those plays. And I think first play of the game, if they hit that big seam route, It's a momentum changer. You're getting guys a little bit more on their heels, a little bit more nervous. But, I mean, they took a deep sigh of relief when that ball was dropped.
Yeah, it would have been about, I would say, a 50-yard gain somewhere in that. And it changes the whole aspect of what you're right off the bat. You're playing on your heels, and they didn't have to deal with that. We talked about the rushing defense of Georgia an awful lot. How about
I still
LSU?
Think they're the best one out there.
And I got no problem with that. LSU worked for the yards that they got in this game on the ground. But how about the LSU rush defense? 25 carries for 61 yards is what they allowed. Fromm only minus four as far as the sacks once you count.
Yeah.
He had a couple of runs tonight. He had a 14-yard run for a first down. So that right about a 2.5 yard per carry average is about right.
And we've been saying that all year long is LSU at best, in the run game. They've shut down the run game when they had to. And, I've been kind of beating that drum for a long time when everybody started jumping on the bandwagon saying that the defense was bad. I just didn't think they played complete games. And when they've had to, the guys have stepped up. Caleb Vaughn had another hell of a night. I mean, he fought for every inch against the best offensive tackle he's played all year long.
I thought the spin move that he had, we've been waiting for him to have
an inside move.
Yes. You guys have pointed that out as much as anything. The ex-players said, listen, he's got the speed rush part, but he needs another move. He needs a complimentary move.
Because
that inside spin was the most beautiful one I've seen him make all year.
We say all the time, if I know your only move is a speed rush, I'm going to run you wide all day long, and I never have to second-guess myself. I'm going to take a deep kick step. I'm going to run you up the field. As soon as you – even if you're not successful sometimes, you show the inside move, well, now I'm nervous, and I don't know whether to take a deep kick step or settle and play your move. The more he does that, the more it's going to open up the speed rush, and he's really started to do that last few weeks.
Some of the things we talked about on the Daily Show and in pregame – yesterday, I said, put your Dave Aranda hat on. Is there any reason that LSU doesn't go man up on the receivers and stack the box and stop the Georgia run? Did you see most of it?
Pretty much what happened.
Yeah.
You know, they went man up and they stopped the run. I think that, you know, the guys they put in place, I thought I saw a hell of a game from Jacoby Stevens, which we expected, Phillips, Queen. You had all your linebackers make big plays today. Tyler Shelvin is a beast among men. He shuts down the middle of the run game. He eats 2 to 3 blockers. I think Apu Aika had another big game. All in all, I think the LSU defense played as good as they possibly could in the run scheme.
Rich, I got something in my eye, man. I got something wrong with my eye. Wisconsin's up 7-0. They just went right down the field. They saw my eyes. I don't know what's going on. Something's wrong with my eyeball test. Wisconsin just went right down the field on the best defense in the country.
You know.
My eyes. I'm going to have fun tonight. Just get ready, okay?
I think we need to ask them if they can roll that TV out in front of us, and then we'll really have fun.
Turn the volume. Well, the LSU fans could turn the volume up. Like I said, they're trickling in.
They're going to be
right
here
now.
Shortly.
Yeah, they are rebel. You know what they're doing right now? They are buying merchandise. So there's this video that is going on right now. They are hauling the Georgia merchandise out. You know, because they have all these things printed, and they send them to underprivileged children overseas. Every now and then, you get a picture of one of these things that says, you know, a championship team that didn't win a championship.
Yeah.
And have you ever I tried to buy one. I had to go to, like, one of these white elephant
parties.
Did you
get it?
No. They get fined. Like, if one of those things gets out in the United States in their territory where they're licensed to sell them, they get fined, like, $15,000.
We need a connection overseas.
It would be a great gag gift.
Yes, I would
it?
Love it. Especially, to, like, if I had some Georgia. Like, I got a Georgia friend sitting at the bar over here. I would love to get that to him for Christmas.
Yeah, I don't think it would be very well received. 37-10, the Tigers win it tonight. This is the Scoreboard Show from the Hyatt, downtown Atlanta. 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
37-10, the Tigers win it tonight, win the Southeastern Conference Championship, finish the season, the regular season, I guess, 13-0. And tomorrow morning we'll find out exactly what their destination is and their opponent for the playoffs. Ohio State is trailing right now 7-0, but they have a drive together into Wisconsin territory about the 35-yard line right now. I had one of the posters in the huddle. It's a frequent poster. That, you know, hey, look, you're better than this. The teams are equal. It's not like they've got an awful score. I get it. Okay, I get it. I've said many times that LSU and Ohio State, I think, they have a very equal teams.
You said they have an equal schedule?
No. I think if the two of them played, it would be a very even game.
I think either team could win. With LSU schedule?
I think they could have been. Yeah. I think they could have been.
I think they're a good football
team.
I
think if they played, and there's a very good chance we're going to get to see.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no problem with Ohio State's ability, their players, or any of that stuff. But their resume is not as good as LSU's. It's just not, okay? So if we're going to play this eyeball test game and Baghdad Rob's going to send that at us, then I'm going to have a little fun with it after
exactly.
LSU just demolished them. Hey, let's go to press conference. We got Coach O.
Winning and determination. They want as a football team. This is a win for a whole organization, for the state of Louisiana, and for LSU, and for everybody that played in the Purple and Gold. But tonight wasn't our final destination. We know that. We don't
thank
know
you,
where
Coach. We'll take questions.
We
reminder, there's no
play.
Video in this.
Tell us
out with that.
Tell us to play.
If you have
we'll
a question, Mariana.
Kelly,
we'll
thank
get
you,
your
Coach.
Microphone.
We'll take questions.
We'll
reminder, there's no video in this room. So if you could help us out
delayed.
With that. If you have a question, Mariana, Kelly, we'll get you a microphone. We'll start up here on the front row with Ron.
How do you think your team performs tonight, clinched the number one seed with the committee?
Yeah, I don't know that. I think we're a darn good football team. We don't know, and I told the team
go down
it doesn't matter. It don't matter where they rank us or where they tell us to go. We got to win the next game. That's all that matters.
The game was still in balance.
Okay, we'll go down here to the right.
They're threatening.
Scott.
Just talk about that.
Scott Rappelin with the Baton Rouge Advocate.
Derek, overall on defense tonight. I play on defense. It was amazing. I mean, but this is what we've been working for since the summer. We knew that if everybody worked together, then nobody could really compete with us.
Okay, we're going to go over here to the left on the aisle.
Jay Busby, Yahoo Sports. Joe, on that 71-yard pass to Justin, how much of that was planned? How much was improvised? Take us through that play.
It was all improvised. Justin ran a 6-yard hitch route and saw me scrambling and just took off deep. And, you know, we got a great feel for each other. I knew exactly where he was going to be when I got out of there.
Okay, we'll go right here in the front row.
James Moran with the American Press. Jody, just the scrambles in general tonight, was that a big part of the game plan going in? And on that first touchdown, did it seem like you had never had so long to throw in your time playing quarterback?
Yeah, so they came out in a defense with kind of what Auburn played against us a little bit, and we didn't expect that out of Georgia at all. And so we kind of had to feel our way out a little bit. And, you know, they're spying me rushing three. And so my own line did a great job of giving me time in that three-man rush. And our receivers found ways to get open.
Okay, we'll go back over here to the right. We have a question.
Coach, us in the media are always looking for Heisman moments. I think, you know, 3rd and 17 at Texas is one for Burrow. But that toss to Jefferson, where does that kind of rank in your mind?
In my opinion, he's the best player in the country. In my opinion, he should win it. In my opinion, he's going to win it. But you know the best thing about Joe? He's a team player, and all he wants to do is win this game. Individual awards are not high on his list. That's what makes him such a great team player.
Okay, again, give your name and affiliation with the question. We'll go back over here to the right.
Shea Dixon with 24/7 Sports. Derek, what did the defense's performance against A&M and then this game kind of say about you guys as a unit?
This game kind of proved the point because a lot of people, they didn't really respect us, but we came out and played and showed everybody what we was made of.
All right. We've got one right over here on the side.
Joel, just as kind of a follow-up to that, I'm Gary McKillop's AP Radio. What does this game mean to you? I mean, you've had a lot of victories before, but how important was this one?
LSU hadn't won since 2011, and, you know, it's such a great victory for the state and the university, and, you know, this is what we've been working for a long time.
Okay, we'll go over here on the left, second row.
Wilson Alexander with The Advocate. Ed, you come off the field and give Derek a hug. What did you want to convey to him in that moment?
So proud of him, man. I see Derek work. You know, you can go in the off season, and you can go in the indoor arena on Saturday and Sunday, and him and his daddy are working every Saturday and Sunday. The guy's a tireless worker. Derek's a very humble young man. He came ready to go when we had him. His daddy did a good job of coaching him. He's one of the finest corners I've ever been around. And, you know, he's a competitor. And but, again, I'll tell you, these two guys are team players. Team comes first with them.
In case anybody forgets, Derek's a true freshman. In case anybody forgets that. I forget it a lot.
All right, we'll go back down on the front.
Derek, I guess I kind of have to ask you, since we've never talked to you, how has this year kind of played out from your standpoint? I mean, is this what you expected, to just kind of come in and be viewed as one of the best cornerbacks in the country as a freshman?
Well, for one, the only reason that I'm in this position is because of everybody else on the defense. We all work together. We make sure everybody's on the same page. And as long as that happens, then everybody looks good together. So I knew that was going to happen, and I'm just blessed to be in this spot.
Okay, we'll go back over here to the left. Deron?
Yeah, Joe, Ron Higgins, Tiger Rag. How much fun is it for you in a game like that where things don't go perfect and you have to make plays and things break down and all of a sudden you turn into like a 10-year-old game on the playground making plays? How much fun was that for you?
Yeah, you know, they did a great job of disguising their blitzes. They had a new package for us this week that I hadn't seen on film. And so that was why I was having to make those scrambles. And I told the O-line before the game, I said, this one's going to be a lot of fun. I can just feel it. And that's exactly what it was.
Okay, we'll go down back there to Scott.
Derek, you came in with a lot of hype as the nation's top cornerback. What was it like learning to play against these kind of quarterbacks in the SEC and then going against a quarterback like Joe in practice? I imagine, how did that make you better?
Joe taught me a lot about having to go play by play, because in high school I was able to always make the play. But when I came and he was pinpoint accuracy, like, there was just times where I was on the receiver, but I just couldn't do anything about it. And that just taught me a lot about the games, because it's going to happen. And once I got over that, like play-by-play mentality, then I knew that I'd be all right.
Okay, we'll go over here in the front row on the left.
Josh Sibley with the Louisiana Gridiron Football. Joe, one of your friends, former Ohio State quarterback Troy Smith, said in a recent interview, he said you were really chomping at the bit to play Ohio State this year. Would you care to speak on that?
Look, we'll play anybody anywhere. I said in the post game, you know, you can take us to Canada. We'll play on a gravel lot. It doesn't matter where or who we play.
All right, we'll go to the second row over here on our right. We've got a couple. Go ahead.
Hey, Joe. Andrew Doak with CBS in New Orleans. This offensive line was much maligned last year. That first drive that you guys had, it seemed like you had about 10 seconds to throw on that touchdown to Jamar Chase. First guy I saw you point to was left tackle Sadiq Charles. Could you speak to this group and how you felt like they performed today against Georgia?
I mean, they were unreal. They've been unreal all year. And they're one of the most improved groups I've ever been around. And they took that criticism to heart from last year. And, you know, like I said, they were three-man rushing us in the first half. And I told them, hey, I'm going to have to sit back there and find some open guys because they're going to have eight people in coverage. And they gave me as much time as I wanted back there. I think they're the best group in the country.
Hey, we're going to stay in that same row next door.
Shea Dixon of 24/7 Sports. Joe, what is it, I guess, how big is it for the offense for Terrace to have a game like he had today? And then what do you tell him as a quarterback after, you know, a drop like he had, and then you came back to him a few times later?
Yeah, I told him after that drop, I told him, look, I'm coming back to you. You know, they're playing Jamar and Justin, and I'm going to have to come to you, and I trust him. He's going to make the plays. I think that's his only drop all year, so – I know I trust that guy with every ball, every 50-50 ball. And that's what makes this offense so great. We have five guys that can hurt you, and you're going to have to pick your poison. If you want to take away Jamar and Justin, you're going to have to deal with Thad, Clyde, and Terrace.
Okay, we're going to go straight in front of me about three-quarters of the way back.
Yeah, it's Chuck Culpepper from the Washington Post. Ed, you've coached a lot of places, time zones, whatever, a lot of different seasons. I guess they're all different, but what words do you find to describe the fall of 2019?
Very proud of our football team. You know, in the spring, I can see them coming together. You know, starting the first season with our spread offense and having Joe run it and having Joe Brady here, and to see the evolution of the spread offense at LSU. Our fans have been one for a long time. And then to get the number one player in the country sitting right here and top recruits and really finally gelling on defense the last couple of games. Coach Aranda challenged the defense. There was a lot of pride on the defense, and I knew they were going to play their best ball. I said it. So I'm just very proud of our coaching staff. I think I have the best assistant coaches in America. You look at a guy like Tommy Moffitt, who gives it his all 24/7, Jack Marucci. We have all the support from Scott Woodward. He came in and gave us every bit of support. Anything that we needed that he can do, he did for us. It was just a good time at LSU, and everybody's pulling on the same side of the rope.
Okay, we're going to go right over here on the right.
John Zener with Associated Press. Derek, I'm wondering, it's a tough learning curve for any freshman but in the SEC, but what was there a game that kind of made you better, whether it was adversity, whether it was going against Alabama or somebody else that maybe taught you something about yourself or –
Really, every game that was played taught me something new. Every week throughout practice, like after watching film, I would either change up technique or change up my eyes. Like everything, every game taught me something. There wasn't a specific game that taught me more than something else.
Okay, if we can get it right here on the aisle.
Joe, you mentioned that you saw them drop eight into coverage at times. Had other people tried to play you that way earlier this year? And the fact that you guys were able to counter it and had answers for it, does it kind of make you think maybe you guys might be a little bit unstoppable right now on offense?
Look, every single week, you know, you watch film all week, and it started back when we played Texas. You know, we watch film, and we go in, and we see something they haven't done all year. And it's happened time and time again every single week. I'm starting to tell my coaches, I'm like, why do I even watch film anymore? You know, we see something new. It doesn't matter. I might as well just go out there cold turkey. But so I think we have great coaching staff, and they make the adjustments that have enabled us to be successful.
Okay, we've got another one over here on the right, on the off.
Okay, again, Gary McKillop, AP Radio. This is for Coach Orgeron. Joel seems like quite a mild-mannered guy. How does he become such a leader on the field? Talk to us about
that. He leads by example. I remember his first day coming here. We were running 110s. I don't know how many it was, maybe 16, and he won every one. Then the next day he did it again. And then the next day he did it again. And he kept his mouth shut, worked hard, and eventually took over this football team. And this is his team. And the reason it's his team, because he earned their respect. And I got to give it to Joe. Joe's quiet, doesn't say much. He leads by his actions. But every once in a while, he'll say something when things are not going going right. And that's the mark of a true leader. But he does it on the field. He backs it up. Our whole team, everybody in the organization believes in Joe.
Okay, we'll go back up here in the front. Kelly.
Ed, what goes through your mind when you see Joe throw a ball, get it batted back to him, and takes off running with it?
Atta boy. Atta boy, Joe. Run, Joe, run.
All right, we've got another one over here on the aisle.
Yeah, Ed, just to follow up on what I asked Joe, I mean, he has not had a bad game the whole season, and just kind of seeing all the different defenses he's seen, do you think there is a way that somebody could play him that would be difficult for him, or is he just so naturally gifted at reading the game that he can adjust on the fly?
You know, I think as we go into the playoffs, the competition is going to be stiffer, obviously, and we'll find out. I think that it's a combination of his athletic abilities, a combination of the talent that we have on offense. And, again, I think there's some fantastic play calling going on. And then, again, Joe makes some plays on his own. He extends plays with his feet. He has a great connection with his receivers. But those guys caught 10,000 balls on their own this summer. That play only practices. None of this stuff surprised me. These guys have a will to win.
Okay, we'll go back in the front row.
Joe, you talked earlier about you can forget that Derek's a freshman. I'm wondering, sometimes when you get a top-rated recruit like that, they come in with attitude, they think they're just going to do what they did in high school. But obviously he didn't take that approach since he started all season. What did you see from him when he first came in that kind of told you he's going to be good?
You know, Derek's as humble of a guy as I've seen. You know, like you said, number one recruits, top 10 recruits, you don't see that. And you see time and time again they come in and they're all cocky and loud, and Derek didn't say a word for 3 months. And, you know, in practice I would go out of my way to throw Derek's way to see if he was – you know, as good as everyone said he was, I can tell you, yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Okay, we'll go in the second row.
Oh, Andrew Doak with CBS in New Orleans. Look, both your highest-ranked wins at the time this year were essentially road environments, and I don't mean that to knock the LSU fans today, but right. You're in Georgia's backyard.
Yeah.
Just winning those two games on the road, essentially, what do you feel like that shows you about the makeup of your team to win in that environment?
We battle-tested. We block out the noise. These guys are focused. I think they feed off the energy in the stadium, whether it's LSU Tiger Stadium or someone else. We feed off the energy. We enjoy going into someone else's stadium. We enjoy the challenge. I think I enjoy it. I think the players enjoy it. We feed off of it. We don't talk about it much, but I think that we enjoy the challenge.
Okay, we'll go back down to Scott here in the front.
Ed, you said many times it's not about you, but you have to take some satisfaction in delivering – a championship to a state that you know so well, where you're from. You know what football means in Louisiana.
Yeah, I'm so happy for the people. I know what it means to them and see all the fans cheering and see all the Georgia fans not there. And we own this stadium today. It was a good feeling. I'm so happy for our players. And I'm happy for the state of Louisiana and happy for LSU. This is what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I'm supposed to recruit great players and win big-time games.
Okay, we have time for one more if we've got another question. All right, we'll go finish over here on the right.
Hey, Michael Barron, Calhoun Times. This question is honestly for any of you guys, but I'm wondering, over the course of the season, how would you assess how your team has grown and come together? It's never easy to win a conference, and it's never easy to get to the playoff, but you guys have done both of those undefeated. How would you say you've grown from day one to now?
You got it, Joe.
You know, I think it really started last year. We had a lot of people coming back. We lost three starters, I think. And, you know, we were young on offense last year. And I think towards the end of the year, you saw us kind of starting to gel. And, you know, when I first got here, I felt like it was kind of, you had the offense and you had the defense, and now you have LSU. And that really started middle of last year. We started really gelling as a team, and this is as close as I've ever been to anybody.
All right. Thank you, Coach. Thank you, guys. Congratulations.
Jubilant Ed Ogeron, Joe Burrow, Derek
Stingley. He got the bar started.
Yeah. As the Tigers win it tonight by a score of 37-10 and win the Southeastern Conference Championship. We'll take a break. We'll go back down to the Mercedes-Benz Dome and get some more reaction to LSU's win that put them at 13-0. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Tigers are SEC champions for 2019 by a score of 37-10 over the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm Charles Sandegrove with Richard Dixon, and we're going back down to the Mercedes-Benz Dome right now, and Jacob Hester is down in the vicinity of the locker room. Jacob, can you hear us? How's it going down there?
Hey, I can hear you. I had to step out of the locker room, man, because those guys were fired up. They just gave the number four team in the country a good old country butt-whipping.
Jacob, from the very beginning, it seemed like LSU took control. They dodged a little bit of a momentum play when the Georgia receiver dropped the ball on the first possession of the game. After that, it seemed like everything really started to flow LSU's way, and the momentum moved in the Tigers' direction early.
Yeah, there was never really a moment being on the sidelines of this game that you felt like Georgia was on the same playing level. I mean, LSU came out, they dominated all phases of the game, and really the only time they were stopped is when they stopped themselves. And so it was a complete dominant performance. When you look at what the defense has done, the last three games since everybody in the country called them out after the Ole Miss game, they have shown up and really been dominant. The offense continues to do what they do. I mean, Joe Burrow's pocket presence guy. I mean, I don't really know what else to say about the guy. Even when you have a free shot, he spins out, picks up the first down with his legs, then he spins out, moves up in the pocket, hits Justin Jefferson for a big gainer. I mean, the guy continues to wow me every single week.
Jake, Joe was on fire tonight as far as, like you said, your pocket presence. His athletic ability with his quick feet and the way he moves in the pocket is just such a weapon, because when they think they have him, he rolls out, and his vision of finding guys down the field is what made LSU dominate this game. You got to give her some respect, though, to Georgia as far as the run defense. They are everything as we thought that they were. I mean, they still have not allowed a running back to score a touchdown all year long. Is it just that? I mean, they just play that sound of defense, the gaps. They don't miss a beat.
Yeah, this Georgia defense, look, they played really good as far as making sure that their individual responsibilities in the run game were taken care of. I mean, Davis, the defensive tackle there, had a really nice game as far as his run fits. But that's the thing about this LSU offense, guys, and I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all know this. You can take something away. You're not going to take everything away. Physically possible to take every weapon away from the LSU offense. And so even when the run game's not there, obviously they can go through the air. When you take away the intermediate passes but go over the top, when you take over the top away, they're going to go underneath, and one of the playmakers is going to turn into a big gainer. There's no stopping this current LSU offense with the way they're built.
Well, Joe said it best. I got five guys to get the ball to, and you can't stop all of them. We're going to figure out a way to get it to them.
Yeah, look, I mean, Kirby Smart said it in his luncheon this week, right? He's like, it's not really what they're doing as far as concepts. He said it's not, this difficult concept. It's just the chess pieces that they have within the concept. And so it's multiple guys. I mean, there's receivers, there's tight ends, there's running backs. It's every phase, every level, every position group's got an absolute stud.
Jacob, in the press conference, Joe Burrow said that it was so becoming a waste of time to look at game film because the team that they were playing is going to throw something new at them every week. So we saw early in this game, and actually in a lot of parts of this game, that they threw that 3-1-7 out that Auburn played. At least that's what it looked like to me. Maybe you can expound on that and tell me what else that Joe Burrow saw tonight that maybe Georgia hadn't shown before.
No, they did run some of the 3-1-7. A&M actually ran some of the 3-1-7. Now, they didn't specialize in it, but they tried. here's the difference. To run a 3-1-7, those three in that 3-1-7 have to be absolute dominant pro players. Nothing against the Georgia front. They're really, really good. Auburn's got the best front, in my opinion, in the country. So if you do it, you've got to be able to have those three guys up front. And LSU's adjusted to that. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever you do, they found ways to adjust. I mean, there's sometimes that the safeties for Georgia were bringing pressure, and Joe looked them right in the eyes, and you could tell that he knew they were coming. He makes a change at the line of scrimmage. There was one time when the corner was pressing to the boundary. He came on a corner cat blitz, and before he even took a step, Clyde Edwards-Helaire basically went out there kind of waiting on him to come, because Clyde knew from his technique, from the way he was positioned on the field, that he was blitzing. There was nothing that this offense wasn't ready to adjust to.
There's no doubt, Jake, and you said it best. I mean, Auburn, they could run that 3-1-7 because the three guys they had up front could cause havoc. When you talk about right. This game, when they went into the 3-1-7, at one time, I think Haney got it on the clock that he had 8 seconds to get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
You cannot give Joe Burrow 8 seconds, because I don't care if you got seven guys covering five, they can't cover him for 8 seconds. I mean, that's way too much time. When you run that, you got to get after the quarterback fast.
Hey, look, the one Jamar Chase touchdown when Joe's basically back there, kind of going to the right, going to the left, and he literally
directing the entire
backyard
team.
Football, directing everybody where to go. I mean, come on, man. To be able to do that in that moment, that's about as savvy as it gets.
Jacob, we talked in the show on Friday that LSU felt like they could man up Georgia's receivers man for man and, you know, put their resources towards stopping the Georgia run. And we saw a lot of that. What else did the Dave Aranda dial up tonight that maybe gave Georgia some trouble?
Well, they really did a really nice job of changing up their rushes as well, something Richard and I talked about yesterday on the show. You know, don't just speed rush. I mean, do some up and under, do some twist, do some gain. We saw Kalavon get a sack on an up and under. And they were just, look, they've been more aggressive. It is what it is. They've been a more aggressive defense. They're getting 3-7 towards the line of scrimmage and Stevens and Delpit. And so this defense is playing with a little bit of swagger to them. And they know they've been called out.
Careful that vehicle. Careful that vehicle when you hear that sound. They're backing up, man. Don't let them back into you now. I know where you are. You're down in one of those tunnels with all of those auxiliary vehicles. They're about to back over you with a forklift. Be careful, okay? Watch where you're going.
Hey, there's no doubt about it. I'm trying to get out of the way here. I'm not as big as I used to be. I can't do anything against this vehicle.
Use your speeds.
That's right.
We're gonna let you go back in there and take a look. Hey, before we let you go, Clyde Edwards-Helaire limping at the end, was in the game almost until the end. Eyeball test. You got to finish these things out. Any report on him or Apu Aika?
No, I don't know. I think Apu Aika was somebody that obviously came out of the game and looked like it could be an ankle deal. Looked like they were working on his lower leg there on the sideline. As far as Clyde's kind of had something he's been dealing with for multiple weeks. It's not a big deal. It's one of those injuries that Richard knows about. Man, you get in the middle of the season, it's not going to heal until the spring, but it doesn't really affect you. It's just going to be one of those things where it's sore.
And Shelvin was out for a good portion of the game, but he went back in, so he's fine, right?
Yeah, look, he looked fine after the game. Like I said, the only thing I don't know about is Apu. I saw him working on his lower body. Looked like an ankle. I'm sure we'll get confirmation here Monday.
Safe travels back, Jacob. Thanks a lot. It was an exciting night.
All right, fellas. Y'all are going to have a pretty good night there doing some post-game radio.
The crowd is building for sure. Jacob Hester down at the Mercedes-Benz Dome as the Tigers win this thing by a score of 37-10. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more here from the Hyatt in downtown Atlanta. This is the Scoreboard Show, 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
LSU wins it 37-10 tonight to win the Southeastern Conference Championship over the Georgia Bulldogs. Go to 13-0 on the season. Update from Indianapolis. The Wisconsin Badgers had 4th and 4 from the 36-yard line of the Buckeyes. They went for it. They made it. They'll play 1st and 10 from the Buckeye 31, leading in that game early in the second quarter. Score 7-0. There's something wrong with them. We need to call you a doctor in the morning. Maybe some Visine or something. I don't want to get the Wisconsin red out just yet.
We know this game is early, and there's a lot of game to be played.
Yeah.
But if it's a close game, In your opinion, LSU, you have no way other than to jump them.
I don't know.
I'm
saying that with disdain towards the committee. I mean,
I agree. Like, but I also think that the way LSU dominated number 4 team in the country, if they were to go out and win by 21, then LSU still should jump them.
If they make this
a close game against a number 8 team, which they had once got dominated earlier in the year.
How about all of these teams?
I'm tired of trying to figure out what they're thinking.
That's why I answered you the way I did. The question I got also is all the teams that factor in here that didn't play today, where does Auburn end up? Where does Florida end up? Where does Alabama end up? All of that may end up mattering. Cincinnati going to hold on in the top 25? Listen, let's go back down to the Mercedes-Benz Dome. Jordy Collada is down in the locker room. J-Man, how you doing?
Charlie. A boisterous locker room down in the bowels of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta after Ogeron, Derek Stingley, and Joe Burrow addressed the media following tonight's SEC championship game. Scott and I just hitched an Uber. We're headed back to the hotel to go crank up some whiskey and wine post-game. But the Tigers were elated down on the field and in the locker room.
What players, and we heard the press conference, but can you tell me any players that you were able to talk to, any reaction that you were able to get?
Yeah, right after the game, Charlie, we were down on the field for the last 5 minutes, and I fired up a Facebook Live as soon as they went final and was able to talk to a couple of people, talk to Thad Moss and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, Clyde, one of the stories that we need to watch here, and he went back in the game after he was hobbled up a little bit, but he was limping a little bit post-game. And yeah, everything that he said he'll be fine. Nothing, a little treatment and a couple of days off can't help. But you know, that was something that did stick out. But you know, just talking to guys like Thad Moss, I mean, Thad Moss, the journey that he's been on, the difference in a year. I mean, everybody talks about Joe Burrow and the year that he's had, but some of these guys that have really come along and had really nice seasons. You know, Rashard Lawrence was down there. His health has been up and down since he's been in Tigers. He's been in Baton Rouge and was for his senior season, but he's really stayed healthy here this last push towards this championship for an SEC and for what they want to accomplish further. And he was talking about just how grateful he was to be able to experience this. I mean, you know, a lot of guys had a lot of emotions down there on the playing field as soon as it went final.
Jordy, I don't know if you guys are watching on your phones as you're making your trek back, but can I interest you in Wisconsin 13, Ohio State nothing?
Another
with the extra
Wisconsin
point to come? Okay, so
13-0.
You guys are watching on the way back.
But for Jordy, you know, we just got off the phone with Hester, and we know Clyde's limping a little bit. But let me tell you the truth about playing football. 13 games in, everybody's limping. You're hurting at this time. You're about to get a little bit of a break. Guys are going to get healthy. This team, you know, from the guys I'm talking to, the guys I'm looking at, you got some nicks and bruises, but we're really as healthy as the LSU team's been, you know, for this part of the season. Guys are just playing well. And Thad Moss, what he's doing and the way he's making defense declare themselves, he's staying in the game the entire time. He's splitting out, playing slot, playing tight end, moving. The way he has evolved in this offense has been nothing but a weapon for Joe Burrow. And it is getting, you know, to this point, there's so many options. You can only shut down 3 or 4 guys before the 5th guy's open.
Yeah, look, I thought that Moss's PI down on the goal line that set up Jefferson's touchdown tonight was a great example of his versatility. I mean, he was split off the line of scrimmage. He was out isolated by himself. They ran him on a slant route within the 10-yard line. I mean, it gives you an idea of the target, the trust that Burrow has in Moss. I mean, he considers him one of those top 5 guys. I mean, when he talks about Chase and Jefferson and Marshall and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, you know, Thad Moss is right there with those guys as one of the weapons that he really counts on. So it was great to see Moss, a guy that, you know, I mean, last year at this time, he was labeled as injury prone. I mean, he was never going to get on the field, a guy that just could not get right. And to see the season that he's had here, you know, you could see the emotion that he had down there on the playing surface. But, you know, one thing that I will say to guys about this team that we've recognized throughout the season is that they still have that the work's not done yet mentality. I mean, for, you know, the Alabama victory, beating Texas A&M, winning the West against Arkansas, everything they've accomplished, the Florida home game win, they've never seemed to celebrate anything as if it's the ultimate. And the SEC title's the same way. I mean, they talked about it being an accomplishment and a goal that they can check off, but by no means is any of the work complete here for what they want to accomplish, you know, from a holistic standpoint. So that has been incredible to watch this team, you know, just as their mentality is keeping it, staying hungry after everything that they've accomplished.
You know, Jody, I agree with that, but there has to be a little bit of we showed you from the defense. You know, 3 weeks ago after the Ole Miss win, they took a lot of heat for a lot of yards they gave up in a game that was basically decided. And since then, I mean, look, Arkansas wasn't very good, fine, but against A&M and against Georgia tonight, I mean, that defense showed their chops. There's got to be a little bit of satisfaction that they take in, kind of throwing that back in the critics' face.
You saw it. You heard it from Stingley in the postgame. They've heard everything that's being talked about that side of the ball. I mean, they hear all the criticism. They hear the playoff committee saying about LSU that they're not yet a complete team because the defense. And, you know, those guys came out and played, man. They came out, and they've done that the last couple of weeks. I mean, they really look like a complete team. And from a defensive standpoint, they look healthy, and they are moving, man. I mean, they look fast. Delpit came up on that opening drive for Georgia and made the play on the sideline, and he looked like he was retro. I mean, that was a vintage Delpit coming up and shooting in the lane and shooting the gap and making the tackle and wrapping up. So that defense is absolutely playing with a chip on their shoulder. And let me tell you, you mentioned, Charlie, about, you know, like at some point you have to have some type of gratification, you know. But you could see Ogeron smirk kind of when asked by Scott Rabelais. You know, when Ogeron's always like, look, it's nothing about me, nothing's about me. But when Rabelais said, look, coach, we get that it's not about you, but what you've accomplished in just 3 years and bring this team back to a championship level, you could see the, you know, kind of the sit back, exhale, and smile because of where they are. So there is a little gratification, but they're still hungry to get out there and play the next game.
You know, so much for blocking out the noise where the defense is concerned. They've heard the noise.
No, they're
right,
doubt.
Absolutely.
Hey, and back to that Delpit sack. I mean, Delpit made a hell of a play. He wrapped up on the tackle, but I'm giving all the credit to Dave Aranda right there. Georgia had a tendency in 12 personnel to go deep on a play action pass to the running back side where they did the play action. Delpit blitzed from the opposite side, left the wide open gap. I mean, that was drawn up perfectly from Dave Aranda.
Yeah, it was. And Aranda's really had some. I love what they're doing from a personnel standpoint. We talked about it a ton during the week, and I saw Marcel Brooks and Cordell Flott get some meaningful reps. I saw Mo Hampton get out there. But the depth that he's been able to develop while these guys have been banged up or a little off over the last, you know, month and a half, 6 weeks of the season, I think is really paying dividends for where they are now.
No doubt. And I'll tell you what, our guys on defense, they had to work their ass off all day long to even get back to that's probably the best offensive line they've seen all year long. You got a guy in your left tackle, it's going to be a first-round guy. I've heard some draft scouts say that everybody on that offensive line will be drafted. Yep. It is as good as it gets. And, you know, those guys had to scratch and claw for everything they got. Kalevon on his big sack in the third quarter, he literally came with an inside move and crawled on his hands and knees to get to the ankles of Jake Fromm. The effort was there. Those guys are trying to prove themselves.
Absolutely. I think Kalevon Chaston has made as much money for himself as anybody on his team, just as much as Clyde has over the last couple of weeks. Man, he's really played with his hair on fire, and I thought tonight was another one of those performances. I mean, every time you looked up, 18 was around the football or he was in the backfield. And, you know, he's another guy that's bouncing around out there. It looks like he's healthy for the last couple of games that LSU has scheduled.
Jordy, one last thing. I know that this is the topic for tomorrow morning, and we'll do Football Sunday from right here in the Hyatt, and we'll have the announcements live. And I know tonight's about enjoying this one, but did you pick up anything in that locker room? Any LSU officials down there going, you know what, this is what we're hearing, we would like this? Enlighten me what you
absolutely
heard.
Absolutely. You, Charlie, you're down there on the field, and you get these instant emotion reactions from people down there, and you see a lot of people in the administration and the high-level LSU football executives, you know, making comments out loud. What else do they need to see? What else do they need to see? Kind of like, how much more can we prove because they want that top spot? Well, I believe what they say. Burrow said it tonight. Ogeron said it tonight. I think Burrow had a great line that they could send him to a gravel lot in Canada and he'd play. They would play anybody with this team, and that's the mentality. But I think that from a pride standpoint, they really believe that they've done enough to be lauded as the best team in the country by the Players Committee. I mean, what else can they do? They feel with the schedule, with the performance. They talked about the overall performance. They called them out for not being a complete team. I mean, LSU's looked as complete over the last 2 weeks as any team in the country. So I think that there is absolutely a residing feeling within the power players of LSU, whether it be the administration side or the football department, that believe that they've done enough. And they will be shocked, I get the feel, if they're not number one in the country.
Hey, listen, I like it here. This is a very nice hotel.
Let's come back.
I'd like to come back to Hyatt
here.
We've made friends. You know, we've made friends here 3 weeks from today. I'm not doing anything.
I'm hoping it all works out. We're right back here.
Wisconsin can take all of the guesswork out of it,
friends. We got to know the bartenders.
Yeah. The bartenders are putting their kids into better colleges with the LSU.
Hey, I'll tell you what, out of all the post-game shows I've done, this might be the hardest one to concentrate because everybody's trying to high-five us as they walk by.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to talk to us. I mean, the energy's great over here.
And Ohio State resorting to fake punts. It worked. First down Buckeyes, but they trail it 14-0 with about half of the second quarter going now at Lucas Oil Stadium. Jordy, we'll see you guys when you come back in, and Whiskey and Wine firing up here shortly. I know when you guys get back to the hotel. So thanks a lot for your help.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right, Jordy Collada and Matt Moscona making their way back from the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Scoreboard Show. And in about 15 minutes, we're turning this thing into Eagle 98.1 Game Day, and we're going to take your phone call. Celebrate with us here. LSU's 37-10 win over the Georgia Bulldogs. They are the Southeastern Conference champions. This is the Scoreboard on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
The 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge Scoreboard, presented by Home Bank. Good for business, good for life on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Back here at the Hyatt as LSU wins the Southeastern Conference Championship 37-10 over the Georgia Bulldogs. You know, Rich, one of the great things about, you know, games like this, it brings so many of the ex-Tigers together.
Yeah.
We've seen Matt Mauk walked in right when we started. Demetrius Byrd was here. You've seen
Glenn
three or four.
Dorsey, Glenn Michael Dorsey, Michael Clayton, Ruben Randall. The crew I've seen so far, not only the LSU guys, you've got, you know, the ESPN SEC Network staff, Chris Doering, Peter Burns. Everybody's here at the 22 Stories Bar in the Hyatt Regency. It is getting cranked up, and the fans, it is awesome to hear everybody cheering for Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, they've got something to occupy themselves. Booger's going nuts on Twitter.
If
you've watched on Monday nights, when he finishes Monday Night Football, he goes on with SVP.
Yeah.
And so he's on site wherever the Monday Night Football game is, and Ryan Clark's in studio. So it's been an LSU love fest, and he, you know, Van Pelt's kind of gotten in the middle of it. Speaking of former Tigers here, Justin Vincent is coming up here. Put that headset on, JV, for just a second. Where were you during the game, and then at the end of the game, where were you?
I was on the sideline.
Yeah. So what would your vantage point, man? I think Wisconsin just got a stop inside the five. All right, give me your vantage point, man. What was
man,
it like?
It was I was right on the sideline, man, on the bench. And I shared a moment with Marcus Spears on the sideline. It was very nostalgic. I was hoping the score would have been 34-14 because that's what we won in 03. We lost by an 05. So
okay. Yeah,
it'd have been pretty amazing, man. I was excited, man. Those kids, those coaches, they worked so hard. It was just amazing to see. And, you know, I did radio this morning. And, you know, guys asked me, say, what did you, you know, I know you work at LSU, but what do you think the score is going to be? I said, ass whipping to nothing.
Yeah, I love that. I said two touchdowns, but ass whipping to nothing is definitely better. JV, you know, we've been in these games, you know. You know, I've won an SEC championship. You won an SEC championship. It is, you know, and you heard Jimbo this morning on game day. it is different. You know, we've been in national championships, we've been in big games, but when you win this game in the conference that is considered the best in America, I mean, it is a feeling that it, like none other. We're talking about injuries. For those 30 minutes after the game, it's probably the best you felt all season long, just the energy in the locker room.
Oh, no doubt. You know, I went to the locker room after the game, and it was just amazing. You know, Coach O, he's who we needed, not who no we doubt. Wanted. You know, a lot of people didn't want him, but we needed him. I mean, his energy, his passion, his ties to Louisiana, is none like it. And, you know, they did a heck of a job, man. And, you know, hats off to Emsminger, Brady, Coach Aranda. Those young men, they rallied around each other, and they went to battle tonight, and they came away with a victory.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's so special just to see what's happening. And I can't wait for the journey. We still got two games to go.
No doubt, man. I'm excited as hell.
And we may very well be back here because Wisconsin is taking it to Ohio State. They just turned them over inside the 5-yard line, punching it out now as the first half winds down 14-0 Wisconsin. You're going to hang around here. We'll let you go, but we're going to bring you back here in a little bit if you can. We got to switch over to break behind because of the press conference. But this is the Scoreboard Show. Wrap it up here. We're turning into Eagle 98.1 game day. Tigers win it 37-10. This is the Scoreboard on 104.5 ESPN Baton Rouge.